Chapter 26. We smashed into the fleshy inside of the gullet, our descent stopped by the cup of a U-shaped shelf on the interior throat. My frame vision turned on, but only for a moment before a pair of bright lights activated near the head of Jazz's mech, illuminating the interior of the beast's throat. The thump, thump, thump of the heart hit me like the beat of a drum. I realized that was the pounding I'd heard throughout the entire city. My mind reeled. This wasn't a temple for Moritasgus. The damn temple was the Guardian. I looked up at Jazz.
What the hell did you do to his head? Why does he just sit there?
She looked at me like it was the stupidest question that had ever been asked. I couldn't access my world map, but I knew several of the kaiju were missing. I hadn't even thought to look for this one. It had been under our feet the whole time, and I'd had no idea. The ground heaved, and we both flew up into the air, almost dislodged from our spot and back into the throat. The cup in which we perched was momentarily turned inside out, like the Guardian was clearing his throat. I bounced as the world settled again. I fell hard onto my ass.
Calm, my lord.
Jazz patted the flesh. I pulled up and placed the gross anatomy mini-map in the top corner. The badger appeared to be buried standing erect in the ground, with only his head poking out into the center of Kinnegad. We sat right on what appeared to be the kaiju's epiglottis. Jazz climbed up the edge of the flesh cup. A chain emerged from the mech, and she attached it to a tire-sized loop of metal that appeared to be drilled into the kaiju's flesh along with several other loops. A single chain was already attached to one of the loops, next to the one Jazz used. This was how they entered the deeper realms of the kaiju, I realized. From this spot, we could go into either the digestive tract or the pulmonary system.
Why is your kaiju buried like this?
The demons came. It is our responsibility to protect our god from the unholy. We keep Papa Mori safe.
But why is he just sitting here? Why doesn't he struggle? Try to get away?
Jazz tapped the brass metal plate on her forehead.
Pastor Brock held the controller. I took it from him when the chaos erupted. Okay. So, we are going toward the lung region. I need to pick you up again.
Controller? So, that thing in your head makes the kaiju do what you want?
This thing in my head tells me Moritasgus' will. Now come to me, unless you want to live the rest of your days stuck in the throat of a god.
She pulled me to her, wrapping me tightly against the metallic hull of her mech. The mechs of the town guard had twin boilers on the back. This wider mech held her massive flail like a backpack in that same place. Instead, a single, but larger, boiler sat underneath the hunk of metal, part of what was holding it up.
Okay, we've got a long way to go down toward the lungs, but we're not going all the way into them. We'll stop just before the branch, and then we're going through the hatch into the heart. That's where they bring them.
We fell, ratcheting down, as an impossible amount of chain emerged from the shoulder of her mech. We occasionally bounced off the wall of the brachial tube, and I wondered idly if the creature could feel it. The air in here was hot and foul, rushing back and forth like waves as the giant badger breathed in and out. As we fell, I glanced at my waypoints. A waypoint pulsed over the heart area, and I focused on it.
Level 5 Dirofilariasis infestation, 107 meters away. Heart. Warning. You must treat this infestation at the direct location. Warning. Guardian Moritasgus is in poor health.
I had no idea what Dirofilariasis meant, but the game seemed to believe I'd be able to handle it at my current level. The last time it gave me a warning when something was beyond my ability to heal. We stopped with a jerk. For a terrifying moment, I thought she'd dropped me as I continued to slide painfully down. We hung loosely in the air. Directly below, the tube split into two directions. The beating of the heart reminded me of being just outside of a nightclub. You could feel it in your bones. It rattled your teeth. Even Bast didn't have a heartbeat this loud.
Jazz pointed up at a round, riveted porthole built into the side of the tube. The door was large, big enough to accommodate Jazz's mech. Several more eyelets were drilled into the flesh above the entrance. A single chain was already attached to one. This was the other end of the one already attached above.
We need to swing over there! This part gets tricky!
Jazz started to push back and forth, swinging.
I got it! Just don't drop me!
I reached forward with my left hand, aiming for the metal loop of the porthole. My aim was true, and I grasped onto the ring.
Okay, hold on!
For a terrifying moment, I feared my implant would rip right off of my arm. But thankfully, my newfound strength was enough. We reached the eyelet, and Jazz grasped on with her free hand. A small shelf was built into the flesh just under the round portal. I slipped out of the mech's grasp, standing awkwardly on the ledge, my hands grasping onto the round, spinning handle of the door. This ledge and whole travel system only worked if the kaiju was in its current position, buried almost vertically in the ground. Bast was always rolling all over the place, and the interior spun about like a washing machine. I wondered how long the groundlings had trapped their guardian in this position.
Get that door open!
Jazz unhooked the chain from her mech and onto the second eyelet.
We can't keep it open for but a few moments before it starts to feel discomfort. So once it's open, go quickly through and I will follow.
Entering heart region. Warning. Diagnosis is recommended.
I expected to step onto flesh, but instead, my feet hit solid metal. The ground swayed up and down like one of those funhouse bridges.
Unsteady.
A guide rope was built across the bridge, and I grasped it with my right hand as I took stock of my surroundings. We stood upon a broad, metallic bridge about as wide as the one that led into the town of Kinnegad. A white glow mixed with Jazz's bluish light, giving the chamber a sickly feeling. The slats were connected with bits of chain, but they were far enough apart that I'd fall through if I wasn't careful. There seemed to be a track of sorts built into the slats, and I realized it was for the groundling mechs. The bridge led off toward what appeared to be a small, glinting building nestled into the shadows ahead. The round building looked similar to Anatoly's base that was built into Bast's large intestine. If it was a player base, I likely wouldn't be able to go inside. It would be empty, as nobody was playing the groundling this season. The bridge heaved, thrumming with the heartbeat. I could feel it in my chest, each thump like someone slapping me. The bridge, according to my map, spanned directly over the heart. But if there was a heart underneath all of that, I could not see it. Below my feet, and stretching out as far as I could see into the darkness, was nothing but a writhing mess of white worms. Thousands of them. Or maybe it was just one. I could not tell. They pulsed and wriggled and slithered, undulating as they swarmed the Guardian's heart like a living mass of bleached angel hair pasta. Heartworms. Each white worm was only about 15 inches in diameter, but they just stretched and stretched, so long that I couldn't see any beginnings or endings. The curling, twisting knot of parasites filled me with an overwhelming revulsion, more so than anything else I'd yet seen in this horrific game. I felt my gorge rise, and I had to fight to keep it down.
Anti-parasitic, level 5. Cauterize, level 3. Incision, level 3. Lance, level 3. Vaccinate, level 3. Numb, level 2. Detoxify, level 2. Reroute, level 2. Diagnosis, level 2. Cleanse, level 1. Patch, level 1. Bloodborne, level 1.
The diagnosis spell pulsed, and I instinctively selected it. The worms all now glowed with a red outline. A muddle of yellow and red warning exclamations suddenly appeared, helping me discern individual worms. There were thousands of them.
Scanning. Level 6 Dirofilariasis infestation. This infection is worsening. Time to level 7, One day, 23 hours, 58 minutes. Warning, your anti-parasitic skill may not be adequate for this infection. Warning, Guardian Mortazgus's effective strength is reduced by 30% due to this infestation. Mortazgus's total strength reduction, 85%. Warning, Guardian Mortazgus is bound in a trap. Recommended treatment. Antiparasitic followed by detoxification and cleanse. Vaccines recommended. Warning, you are out of stock on vaccines. Warning, due to the strength of the infection, you must be in direct contact with a pulmonary vein to administer the antiparasitic.
The infection was at level 6. It had been at level 5 just a few minutes earlier. I didn't know what that meant, but it had probably worsened because of my presence. This was typical game stuff. The mere existence of a player had a tendency to set things into motion. My soul power was still topped up from my recent resurrection, and my health hadn't had much time to tick down. It seemed the diagnosis spell had cost next to nothing. If I wanted to heal this guardian of its worm problem, I had to cast a series of healing spells. The thing was, I had no reason to want to heal it. Not really. The less I did to be noticeable, the better. Jank was still out there and nearby. I knew I received experience when I healed, and healing these monsters was the point of this whole damn game, so I'd eventually have to start doing it a lot. But the last time I'd done it, during the character creation process, I'd ended up unleashing a torrent of demons on myself. No thank you. Not until after this stupid day ended and my debt went away.
That's the oblation chamber!
Jazz pointed at the boxy hut at the end of the bridge.
That is where they brought Gulch! The worms are especially active today! Come! I will need your help, demon! Prepare your weapons!
She rushed forward, moving smoothly across the heaving bridge as her mech feet turned to tracks, locking into place. She pulled the giant metallic block off her back and dangled it in her right hand. Shit. I looked one more time over the edge. I swallowed and pulled my gun. I tentatively followed behind, far enough back so I wouldn't get clobbered by that flail if she started swinging it around. It was difficult to keep my balance, and she quickly outpaced me. She disappeared into the small building before I'd even crossed half the bridge. The light of the heart chamber halved the moment Jazz disappeared, and my frame vision activated. I looked down again, and now I could see the full outline of the heart. I gulped. The pulsing muscle had to be 80 feet across and 100 feet deep. The entirety of the organ, outside and in, was filled with the worms. I had no idea how the muscle worked at all, so choked with parasites. A pair of flashes brought my attention back to the bridge. As I came closer, I realized the small building was attached directly to the exterior of the aortic valve. It hovered a mere 10 feet above the curved top of the heart. The bridge and the building were kept relatively steady using similar magic as Anatoly's base. The writhing mass of worms reached all the way to the bottom of the building. Some of them even curved up the sides. Another flash came from within the building. A fourth flash pulsed. The light came from underneath the closed door and a hole in the roof. This was all game setup, I knew. I took another step toward the door. I was about to walk into something. The door flew off its hinges as Jazz rocketed backward and out of the building. She hit the bridge hard, rolling to a stop just in front of me. I fell onto my back, and I scrambled, clutching onto the slat with my mechanical left hand as the bridge heaved. The entire top half of my body dangled over the edge. The writhing worms below were mere feet away. They seemed to sense my presence, and they undulated, the whole mass rising toward me. I pulled myself back up. Jazz's mech was face down on the slats. The boiler rattled. It's gonna blow. I need to get out of here. The giant flail was still clutched in her right hand, but it dangled off the side of the bridge. I watched in horror as a group of worms reached the square hunk of metal. They climbed, working their way up as the whole mech started to slide, pulled toward the edge of the bridge. It was a race to see what would happen first. Would the mech get pulled off the edge before the mass reached to the slats to overwhelm the bridge? Jazz emerged, pulling herself out from underneath the mech, climbing up the arm, monkey-like. She jumped onto the sliding back of the mech, screaming something. She pulled a wrench out of the slot on the shoulder, smacked something, and with a twist, the whole right arm fell from the mech. The flail and worms plummeted away. She then moved frantically toward the boiler, which glowed an ominous shade of red. Jazz was shouting at me, pointing toward the building. I could not hear her. A second mech emerged, coming from the missing front door of the small building. It was Madame Throb. But I caught a slight difference in the name floating over her head.
Madame Throb. Host. Mechanized sentry leader of the Protectorate Temple. Level 26.
Host? What did that mean? It didn't take me long to figure it out. A single, impossibly long, white worm was attached to the top of her head. It threaded over the top of her mech and reached right into the top of the cockpit. Behind her, hundreds of worms began to emerge from the building. Madame Throb's eyes were gone. As I watched in horror, dozens of small worms started to slide out of the empty eye holes. The worm thing was controlling her.
You have breached the agreement.
It pointed at me. The mech held a large, blunderbuss-like gun. At the same time, Jazz scrambled off the back of her downed mech. The boiler continued to glow red. She rushed back toward me, screaming and waving her arms.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about!
You presented a child. The child escaped to where we cannot reach. Bring him back to us, and all will be well. Do not do as we ask, and we shall choke this so-called god to death. Deals are sacred to our kind. Break this pact, and all of your gods shall suffer our wrath.
Timed quest. You have 15 minutes to complete this task. Option A. Gulch has escaped the grasp of the Dirofilaria. Capture him and present him to the parasites. Completing this task will reward you with a permanent plus 20% strength bonus to all controlled guardians. All Dirofilariasis type infections will cease to cause strength reductions. However, your standing with all groundlings will have a permanent 10% deficit. Option B. Kill the Dirofilariasis infection and free Gulch. Doing so will cause Jazz the Groundling to swear allegiance. She and a fully armored defense mech will join your party as a mercenary. However, all guardians infected with Dirofilariasis-type parasites will receive a permanent 10% strength reduction in addition to the existing effect of the parasites. Failure to complete either of these options will result in a permanent 20% strength reduction to all worm-based strength deficits.
God damn it!
I'd stumbled onto a compulsory quest. A 15-minute timer appeared in my vision, counting down. The timer mirrored itself directly above the glowing red boiler of Jazz's abandoned mech. Jazz was at my side now, frantically screaming. I still could not hear her. I read my choices again. Either way, I had to find Gulch. Once I did, I had to decide what to do with him. If I gave him up to the worms, it sounded like heartworms would cease to be a problem and all controlled guardians would be stronger. If I saved the kid, I'd gain Jazz as a wingman. But any guardian I wanted to control would be that much more difficult to heal. All guardians would receive a 10% strength reduction. I didn't know how much of a big deal that was, but it seemed pretty damned important. I had the sense I'd stumbled onto something major. A hidden boss battle. Something that regular players of this game would go out of their way to seek out. Either way, if I did nothing, the penalty was obscene. I didn't know if the Throb thing could hear me or not.
Where did he go?
I eyed the glowing boiler nervously. It appeared it would blow at any moment. Not in 14 minutes. I suspected if I touched or shot it, it wouldn't wait. The worm-controlled mech rolled backward into the hut. She beckoned at me. The worms pulled back, settling on top of the heart. They ceased their reaching for the hut and bridge. The bridge settled.
Come on, Jazz. Let's get your kid.
Entering ablation chamber.
Oh my God. A red mist clouded the air. Blood, I realized. In a matter of moments, I was covered, dripping. The chamber was bigger than I'd anticipated. It was about 500 square feet, if I had to guess, and perfectly round. Holes peppered the rusted metal floor, holes just large enough for the hundreds of worms that pushed their way up through them. I was instantly reminded of the night thieves, the worms who wore dead babies as shells. This was similar, but not exactly the same. These worms rose vertically in the tall chamber, all reaching about 10 feet off the ground. They waved lazily, as if entranced, wafting back and forth like sea anemones caught in a mild current. Each worm clutched a single groundling child, held upside down. The children were each about 2 or 3 years old, all younger than Gulch. The round mouths of the worms grasped onto the crown of each child, covering the hair and eyes, and usually the nose. The arms and legs of the children were rigid, their legs pointing straight upwards, their arms outward, cross-shaped. The children were paralyzed, I realized. They were hit with the same type of freezing-in-place paralysis spell that I'd been hit with during the amplification ceremony. I knew this because their bodies remained rigid, but they could still use and move their mouths. The blood that permeated this chamber only reached about 6 or 7 feet up, more fog than a mist. The worms seemed immune to the stuff. Their bodies remained white, but the walls did not, leaving a clear line. The mist did not appear to reach the children, though their bodies were all stained red, as if the chamber sometimes filled with blood, like a tide. There were about 75 groundling children in the room, all hovering above me like inverted crosses. Each and every one of them screamed and cried. Their ragged bodies, some half decomposed with brown and black bone showing through rotted, sloughing skin on their legs and arms, all remained rigid. But these children were alive, and they were in constant, unrelenting pain.
What? Holy shit.
This is too much. This is too much.
That one!
Jazz pointed toward a particularly decomposed child at the far end of the chamber. I hadn't realized she'd followed me into the room. She looked to be in a state of shock. Her eyes were wild.
That's my uncle! My mother's brother! He's been here for 80 seasons. Their bodies cease to grow, but it takes them decades to die. Decades to properly decompose. That is our deal with the worms. We give them our damaged children and they do not kill our god.
You should have just killed him.
Stonegate wanted to. You wanted to spare him this. But I am stubborn. A mother loves her child, wants to protect him. But sometimes that love is a curse. Now my husband is dead, and my child is damned.
Madame Throb stood in the back of the room, silent, stiff. The normally white and gold machine dripped red.
Where is he?
The mech pointed up.
Scaled the wall of the chamber, and he disappeared.
A round hole at the top of the chamber revealed nothing but darkness. I nodded, impressed. That kid sure could climb. He would have had to scramble up one of the worms and leaped off the body of a paralyzed groundling in order to have pulled that off.
Okay, then. I'll find him.
I had 10 minutes. Jazz clutched onto my leg.
When you find him, Do not go back into the chamber. Keep climbing. The boiler on my mech is going to fail. The explosion will kill everything nearby, including me and these worms. I cannot stop it. The release valve is broken. Take care of my child, worm surgeon.
I still didn't know what I was going to do. But I had a thought. I opened up my menus, scrolled to my skills, and reactivated Wicked Meat. I looked around the room, first focusing on Madame Throb, then Jazz. I took note of the results and switched it back off. I shot my left hand out, easily reaching the hole at the top of the chamber. I pulled myself up, struggling to wrench my bulk to the roof.
Entering Heart Region.
Once outside, the rushing, thumping sounds returned. Relief flooded me. Anything to get that terrible screaming and crying out of my head. Darkness enveloped me, and my frame vision activated, turning everything into a wire frame. 8 minutes left. Massive, rushing tubes surrounded me. The temple nestled in the space between the aorta and the vena cava, according to my map, which looked like the vein I needed to grasp onto in order to administer the antiparasitic. The vein was as thick as a grain silo. Okay, Gulch, where did you go? I looked around. The kid could climb like a monkey, but I didn't think he'd be able to get far, especially in the dark. He wouldn't have gone down, not toward the worms. But with all these veins and arteries, there were literally dozens of directions he could have gone. Damn it. I had 14 skill points left after leveling up to 17 in my ill-fated attack on the Templar guards. I had multiple tracking-themed skills available. I hadn't spent too much time looking at them, and I cursed myself now for not reading up on everything I could.
Track the Lost. Aids in the finding of lost livestock and NPCs. Does not work on mobs. Activating the skill shows all NPC and missing livestock passage related to active quests. Second level increases time and distance available to track. Third level adds deep dive and aquatic support. Fourth level requires a bionic upgrade and adds support and tracking through portals.
This would work. It would probably be helpful for my next quest, too. The one to find the quantum mechanic inside of the Shrill. It cost 7 points to get the skill to level 3. 6 minutes left. A glowing track appeared on the ground. The track followed up an angled vein, this one only as thick as an oak tree, splitting off toward another branch. Sitting at the branch, huddled between two pulsing veins, was the boy. About 50 feet away. He lay on his side, his short legs pulled up to his chest. Even at this distance, I could see he was crying. I awkwardly pulled myself up the side of the vein, which angled up at a 45-degree angle. I found I could bunch the hard, plastic-like flesh of the tube in my hand, creating handholds. When I did this, I could feel the rush of the blood under my hands. The moment I touched the vein, my surgery menu returned. This time, two different available tasks glowed. Antiparasitic and Bloodborne. I had no idea what Bloodborne did, but when I hovered over it, several branches of text appeared. A quick glance told me these were destinations within the body, nearby purple waypoint locations that needed healing. After a moment, I realized it was a fast travel spell. I could use it to get to places within a kaiju using their circulatory system. I pulled myself to the next branch. It swayed like a rope. On my hands and knees, I crawled over to where Gulch sat, huddled. He did not move at my approach. The booming roar of the heartbeat had eased once the quest had started. It was still loud, but not nearly as much as before. We were about 20 feet higher than the top of the oblation chamber. Directly below was the bridge. I had a bird's eye view of the red-hot mech. It glowed like a beacon, the only real illumination in here. My frame vision stayed engaged unless I looked directly down. I had no idea what the blast radius was going to be, but we were probably well within it. 4 minutes. Gulch, it's me. Your mom is down there.
She's a liar.
She told me I'd never come down here. We trained for it, but she said it was a game. I'd never have to really do it. I want my dad.
This is not a real child. This is not a real child. My left hand remained attached to the vein as I sat next to Gulch, leaving my legs dangling over the edge. I'm sorry. Your mom is too. Sometimes, parents have to lie to their kids.
Why?
Take me to him.
Mary had said. The two officers from the state police had looked at each other. That look. It spoke volumes.
Ma'am, that is not a good idea.
I don't care. We're going to see him right now. I won't believe that's him until I see my boy.
I'd reached out to touch her, to stop this madness. I couldn't even feel my own hand. Hours later, we stood over the table. The medical examiner held back, looking down at the floor. Mary clutched onto me, her arms crushing. Everything was numb, yet raw. Light was painful. Dark, unbearable.
No, 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 no.
Mary looked up at me, her eyes angry, accusing. This is your fault, those eyes said. It's just as much your fault as your addict daughter.
Why?
Because the world is big, and it is scary, and it is filled with monsters. We don't want it to be, but it is. We love you, and we want you to be safe. We do our best to protect you. But sometimes, despite our best efforts, it's not enough. So we lie. And we tell you it's going to be all right. But we're not just lying to you. We're lying to ourselves. We do it so we can sleep at night. I didn't know how well Gulch could see, but his round eyes seemed to pierce right through me, accusing.
I want to go home.
Mary had said the exact same thing, word for word. I want to go home. My virtual pointer hovered over the anti-parasitic talent. I sighed and moved it away. That's the problem, kid. I want to go home, too.
No! 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 Take me to my mom! I don't want to go in there! I don't want to see those words! No!
I found Jazz in the center of the room, struggling in the grip of Madame Throb's mech.
Mom!
The worm had detached itself from Throb and was waiting for us.
Mom, help me!
At first, I thought Madame Throb had returned to herself, no worse for wear after being attached to the heartworm. But that was not the case. She remained dead in her mech, her eyes still burned away. The parasite had grasped onto Jazz, holding her into place, and then abandoned the mech, leaving Jazz trapped.
Mom, don't let them take
it. It was as if it knew my plan ahead of time.
No! No! Please! Mom, such a baby! He's my child! Mom! Baby, baby! It's going to be okay! It's so okay!
See, I held the boy up in the air, facing me. His eyes flickered from his mom to me. She's not lying to hurt you. She loves you. She's just lying because she's afraid. We locked eyes as a parasite clamped down onto the boy's head. He went instantly stiff, his arms reaching out in the cross position. Life remained in the boy's eyes. He opened his mouth, and he began to scream.